I got a little more information on the players the Mets gave up. It's small stuff, but I mean, as you would expect, the one of them was the 19th rated prospect, both pitchers, by the way, and the other was a 26-year-old relief pitcher. So, as expected, the Mets didn't give up a ton for Greg Soto, a lefty, you know, coming in the bullpen, think sixth inning, seventh inning, situational stuff. Certainly an upgrade. I like the move. I do. He's got some overpowering stuff, but you just don't know if he's hitting that strike zone. So you're going to have some moments where I would think, because he's been around long enough, where he kind of is who he is, where unless they tweak something in that lab, maybe get him to stop walking people. But I do like the move. And then I was just kind of going through social media, and I don't, like, there's no way that this is going to happen. But if you're a Yankee fan, and I guess this could apply to the Mets as well, because they've got a lot of good prospects too, but I'm going to keep this one to the Yankees for a second. If the Philly, you know what, Hoff, you answer this. If the Guardians called up the Yankees right now and they say, we want Spencer Jones, Jason Dominguez, and the lowest level of your, in terms of age, your a top 10 prospect for Ramirez, you do it?
For Ramirez, yes.
Yeah. How do you not do it?
Yeah.
I mean, I really wonder, and because you talk about with Devers being traded a while ago, very, very long ago, you know, very early in the season, you know, and we're focused on the St. McMahon and Suarez and these middle relief arms, and maybe Cedric Mullins. And I just wonder if, don't you feel like there's going to be one big unsuspecting name that's dealt? And Ramirez fits the bill.
I don't know if I believe that there's going to be a huge move that's made because everyone's so tight right now. But I will say this much. If you're the Yankees and you were in the World Series last year, there are so far a lot of the names we're talking about, they are not sexy and they're not getting you to the World Series. Jose Ramirez, that is a move that will help you get and win the World Series.
Yeah. Now, the problem with that is, you know, you got to listen, you'd have to get them to throw in Steven Kwan. Otherwise, think about this. And I'm not saying I don't do it. I mean, you know, I love Ramirez. I love him. But if you give up Spencer Jones and you were to give up Dominguez in this proposed trade, and then Grisham walks next season, who the hell's playing the outfield?
Hey, there's a guy named Kyle Tucker.
He's going to resign with the Cubs, dude. He's not coming.
Why? Yet. He hasn't signed yet.
Does he's going to. I don't know this for sure, but I think you play for the Cubs. Although Soto played for the Yankees.
Cody Bellinger.
What?
Cody Bellinger. I know it was a trade, but Cody Bellinger left the Cubs.
Yeah, I know. I understand that. But I just think that, like, if you go to Chicago and you play well, and he's playing well. He's got an OPS over 900. He's a stud, as you know. And you're a pretty good Cubs team, even if you're not great. I just think that you just fall in love with that place. I don't think he's looking to leave. And I think they're going to come up with the money. Now, I would have traded him for Luis Gil. I said that. But I don't think the Yanks are going to have access to Tucker again. If you told me that they did, well, then that obviously, but you don't know that. So you're making these moves blind and independent of what might happen with Kyle Tucker.
Well, listen, at the end of the day, you know, you have a surplus of players that you have. You have Dominguez, who, you know, and all these other infielders that are useless right now, and Spencer Jones. At the end of the day, left field is easier to fix, even though it's almost impossible for the Yankees to fix it.
Yeah.
But if it feels like left field is easier to fix than an all-star caliber third baseman.
Switch hitter with speed.
Yeah.
I know he hasn't really hit in the postseason, but he's played a lot of playoff games, too. You got to make that trade. Listen, fantasy land, you can throw out any trade proposal, but I only throw that out. I saw it on social media. Me and Sal talked about it before. And, you know, the Guardians have a decision to make, and I know he's their franchise guy, but... You know, he's a loyal, loyal cat. He wanted to stay with the Guardians. He took below market value. We discovered, I think it's 160 or 170, whatever. I think it's 160, something like that. He's only got a couple of years to go. Guardians aren't going to win this year. And at some point, you got to reboot. And at some point, if you're him, you'd want to be in the best position possible to win a championship. Now, maybe he doesn't view the Yankees as that team, but I'd have to check. Does he have a no trade, whatever? I just wouldn't be stunned if he's dealt. He's a stud. Let me get Mark in Oceanside. Mark, BT and Sal, what's up?
How are you?
Good.
This is your last day of flying solo.
Yes.
So we're looking forward to hearing Sal rant and rave when he comes back. You know, he's great when he gets all excited.
Oh,
you know,
no question.
The fans love him when he gets excited, when he's cool and thoughtful.
Uh-huh.
We want you to be cool and thoughtful. We want him to be excitable.
Well, I think you get a little bit of everything. I mean, I get nuts sometimes too, where I sound like a lunatic.
Yeah, but you're a little more grounded.
You think so?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, bottom line is this: does the show work? As long as you're saying yes, then the show works.
A+, definitely.
There you go. Thank you.
Okay.
Buddy. What's up?
I think that all the Yankee fans are misjudging what's going on.
Well, this should be interesting. Go ahead.
Okay. I think that Brian Cashman is at his best at this trade deadline. I think he's going to pull off one or two swindles against teams like Minnesota, Kansas City, some, you know, team that's not the best team, well managed. He will undress them in a trade.
Okay.
I think Detroit has shown that they've turned into the stock. Clock has struck 12 o'clock for the Detroit Tigers.
A little bit, maybe. I still dangerous, but I got you. Keep going.
Okay. I think that the chief competition is Toronto.
It's definitely Toronto.
However,
Toronto's good.
They are real good. Love their lineup.
Scrappy.
BT.
Yeah.
What's the key in the playoffs? Pitching.
You got to catch the baseball, too. I mean, there's a few keys, but yeah, you got to pitch.
Okay. Yeah. Here are their three big starters I saw. Max Scherzer.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Bassett, good pitcher, solid.
Chris is good. Chris is still
good. He's good, but no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy I love.
Gausman.
Braxton Berrios.
And Gausman.
I'm not intimidated by that.
But what if they make a trade?
Well, if they make a big trade and they bring in Paul Skeens, watch out.
They're not going to get... The Tigers are not... The Pirates are not trading Skeens yet. No way.
But if they make a trade for a stud, I don't think there's a stud starter out there to be had. Unless Joe Ryan gets traded.
I probably agree. I think there's a few intriguing pieces like Dylan Cease, who's been a stud at points. But I think you're right. I'd probably agree with that assertion, yeah.
If I'm the Mets or the Yankees and Joe Ryan's available,
yeah, I know.
I say, not do you want this,
yep.
Who do you want?
I know. I know.
When you're in the playoffs, you need big-time starters. I don't know why people think that getting Eugenio Suarez is the answer.
I don't want him.
I know you don't. But I've heard Mets fans say, we got to get him to be at DH. I would much rather have Joe Ryan.
No, but hold on. No, Mark. The Yankee Met thing with Suarez is very different, and thanks for the call. Met fans, they should do cartwheels if you wind up with Suarez as your DH. Now, if Suarez is playing third base, good luck. It's going to be an adventure. He's not average or slightly below average. He is horrendous at third base. Awful. Now, the Yankees aren't getting him to be a DH. If the Yankees were to get him, and I don't think that they will, but if the Yankees did get him, he's playing third. I want no part of that. If the Mets were to get him, well, I'm not going to say that he's not playing third because if they trade Brady, but yeah, at least you have Mauricio. You're not going to get rid of Beatty and Mauricio, so you have some option there, or as they like to say these days, optionality, which I can't stand when people talk like that. Just speak to me like a human, you know? But Suarez batting, what, fifth on the Mets as the DH? I mean, that's a home run. You're not giving up a lot to get him. He's a rental. Let me get Sam and Rockland, BT and Sal on the fan. What up, Sammy?
Thanks for taking my call, BT. I want to see, do you think there's a world where the Yankees trade Paul Goldschmidt and or trade Trent Grisham maybe?
Well,
they slide Cody Bellinger to first.
Mm-hmm.
They platoon Bellinger and Rice, and then they call up Spencer Jones.
Well, first of all, I'm not platooning Bellinger. Bellinger's, I don't know why Boone sat him the other day in Toronto.
I don't know, how is his defense at first?
It's phenomenal. He's very good. Very good at first base. Now, Sam, this goes to something that I said a couple of weeks ago. The concept of selling for the Yankees. So would I trade Goldschmidt? 100%. You're not going to re-sign him anyway. He's making peanuts, so there's about $6 million left. Even if the Yankees had to eat one or two, whatever. Not that they should, but there's always a way to make a deal happen. You know, he has no power. He's a professional at bat. He's a hell of a first baseman. He's a great locker room guy. I'm not saying that Goldschmidt is without value, but of course I would trade Goldschmidt, and I would trade Grisham. I mean, I'd be more inclined to trade Goldschmidt than Grisham, to be fair. I don't really put both on the same, like, motivated the same to trade. I'm not looking to give either away, But if you do move on from one or two of those guys, this opens up a pathway for guys that I want to find out about. And I also think that you could, you know, kind of, if done right and with other moves, you can a little bit fortify the future and also try to win now to an extent, which I would be open to. Let me get Joey in Livingston. We were talking about the Jets a little bit earlier. Joe is on the fan with BT and Sal. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how you guys doing? I went to training camp this morning, and yeah, I mean, I saw Justin Fields walking out there, no limp, and he was participating in all the exercises, the warm-ups, the running.
Yep.
Also, I'd like to add, he did stay afterwards and signed for a ton of fans. He took pictures with me and my friends.
Good.
And I wanted to compare that to Aaron Rodgers, who I maybe went like 6-7 times, and he never, even Kings of fans, I never even looked at me. And so I just wanted to point that out.
Well, I mean, okay, also, Joe, hold on. Now, Joe, I certainly appreciate your personal experience, but what is your conclusion? That Aaron Rodgers is a jerk and Justin Fields is the best? I mean, yeah, listen, everybody has a bad day. Everybody has a good day. I mean, what are you saying?
Well, I'm saying that it's necessary for this organization to have a change of a quarterback, someone who's not full of themselves and actually cares about the fans, and that this is Justin Fields' first like public practice, and it's a really good start for the fans. And also,
okay,
the practice a lot more serious. Like under Aaron Grunder.
There we go. Now we're talking.
A lot more serious.
Now we're talking, Joe. But, now that's something I care about. And again, not to ever minimize like an athlete ignoring fan, like I. Especially young kids. You don't sound like young, but like, you know, just try to do the right thing. I'm of the mindset if you try to do the right. Listen, I was going to bring it back that the story this week, one of them, when I get ejected. I own it. I hate that it happened. There were some circumstance, whatever. It doesn't even matter. Got ejected. Own it. Not proud of it. But I really do try to do the right thing in the other 400 games that I've coached, whatever. You know, multiple sports. You know, everybody has a moment. Everybody has a day. So I've been at camp where I've seen Rodgers really work, you know, interact with young fans and be cordial and be cool. But what I want to hear, and that's what we did here, the seriousness of the practice. Like, Salah was a joke. He was so soft. Sal laughs when I do it, but it's true. The first Hard Knocks, I get on the air and I'm like, this guy is basically turned into a buffoon. Like, how could I take Robert Saleh seriously when there is footage of him on the? This happened, and if you saw Hard Knocks, you know you remember this. Aaron Rodgers makes the throw in camp, and I got to be honest. Now I couldn't make it. You couldn't make it. Saleh couldn't make it. But it's not like it was, you know, with 9 seconds left in the AFC Championship game, and he threads it between a safety and a corner converging on Garrett Wilson at the pylon to win the to win the game as the clock expires. It was a relatively benign pass in practice. And just what you hear from Saleh. He just sounded like such a goof. I should have known it was over then. He goes, oh, God. Oof. Ah. What a pass. Oh, God. Dude, get a grip. I mean, act like you've seen a professional quarterback throw a football before. Now, I will say, his first year, when they played the Giants, and I was at the game, and I happened to be on the sidelines before the game, and I'm watching him throw, and I'm saying the same thing. I'm like, geez, look at this guy throw. Like, it's like almost like ballet. It's artistic. The level of artistry was just... You know, and I've seen a million quarterbacks throw a boomer, throw a pretty ball. It looked like that. Nobody does. So, but I'm not a coach. You know, in the world of football, I'm a zero. So it's okay for me to be a little bit like intoxicated by the beauty of his throwing motion. I was mesmerized. I give it to you. You know, I even like took a little video of him just throwing downfield these basic pregame warm-up drills. And I tweeted this. I'm like, look at this guy. Yeah, so I fed into it as well. But I'm not the coach. Oh, God, what a throw. Whoa. Wow. You're not getting that from Aaron Glenn. You're not. What you're going to get from Aaron Glenn, what you didn't get from Saleh, I'm not saying he won't compliment his guys, but when Fields makes a horrendous throw, he's going to light him up. That's what I care about. Finally, let me get Nick in Connecticut. What up, Nick?
Hey, what's up, BT? Good to hear from you, man.
My pleasure, Nick. What's going on?
Awesome. Well, a couple things on the Yankees. I just don't think that there's any moves that this team can make that would even remotely put them close to a World Series or winning it. I really don't. They have so many holes. They're so painful to watch. I'm about your age. I'm 46. And the whole philosophy of the Yankees has changed, like flipped completely to the opposite of what it once was. And I think it starts up top with Hal. The guy doesn't care about winning like Robert Kraft or George Steinbrenner or the owner of L.A. I mean, you have to have an owner that, like Cohen. I mean, some of these Mets, a lot of these Mets fans are right, man. I mean, they have an owner that is a fan of the team that loves them and will do anything to win, like George once did.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a matter of time before they finally do get their rings. I do believe that. And I think this year it might be one. But listen, I'm not from New York. I'm in Connecticut. My hate's with Boston. Mm-hmm. When the Mets are in the World Series, I root for them because that jersey says New York, and I love New York. But I'm a Yankees fan, thick and through. And I just don't think there's any moves they can make. I think the system is broken with the Yanks as far as Boone and Cashman and Hal. They need to change everything. And I just, it's sad, you know, watching my kids grow up with a terrible baseball team. And I got to grow up with
Nick. Nick, I mean, now we're getting nuts, as many of us do here.
I know.
Terrible?
Yeah.
Dude, they were in the World Series last year.
I know. I know they're good enough to make the playoffs,
yeah.
But they're never good enough to win it all. And that's all Hal, I feel like, he cares about is just fill some seats up in postseason, make me extra money for my pockets, and I'm happy. And that's not good enough for us 45-year-old Yankee fans.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of truth in what you said there. I think Hal gets a little bit of the short end of the stick. You know, would you be saying that if Juan Soto took his 750, whatever the Yankee offer was? Would you be saying that if he took that offer? Probably not. I mean, things have changed. There's no doubt. Like, the Yankees have changed a little bit, but what's made it seem like the Yankees have changed a lot is that the rest of baseball's changed as well, most notably the Mets. And I said that. The one thing the Yankees no longer enjoy is that cushion. Well, the Mets stink. The Mets are the Mets. The Mets are LOL. They're a joke. They're garbage. Hey, so we're good. We're golden. Well, now it's a two-man race. Just like now, certainly it won't have the energy, but I mean, just a loose comparison, you know, like if and when the Brooklyn Nets ever really get their act together and the Knicks are good, that's again, it's not remotely because it's just not even close to being the same, but you get the comparison there. When somebody in your city that plays the same sport and occupies the same area and same consumer, like those 50-50 consumers that can go either way. You know, I'm not really a Knick or a Net fan. Oh, wow, the Nets are good. Brooklyn's a cool place. Let me go there. Like, that happens. And I don't think it really happens with baseball because you're either a Yankee or a Met fan. Now, I do think that there's some younger fans now. And this is where, you know, it's going to change if it's going to change. Well, it's going to change a little. How much, I don't know. And residually, we won't know for a while. But if you are... you know, 7, 8, 9, even 10. And you grow up in a household where, you know, maybe parents aren't from America. Start with that, right? And, or they are, and they're just not baseball fans. And they don't kind of guide you, hey, it's our first Yankee game with Facebook and the pictures. And, hey, it's our first Met game, first Mets opening day. You know, you have your buddies in the schoolyard or the kids you go to school with, and you know, if the Mets were to win a World Series this year or next year and Soto's young and, you know, vibrant and all that stuff, maybe that young player becomes a Mets fan. That young kid becomes a Mets fan. Whereas back in the day, that younger fan that didn't have some pre-existing commitment or direction or push from dad or mom or uncle or brother or neighborhood, that person or that little kid, boy or girl, was going to almost always gravitate toward the Yankees. Why? Because the Yankees were awesome. And the Yankees were winning. And winning is fun. And everybody wants a piece of the pie. Hey, I want to win. Can we win? So they ask Santa for a Met jersey. Or for Hanukkah, they say, hey, you know, the mensch on the bench. Is that what it is? I think that's what it is, Dolph. The mensch. Can you bring me, right? The mensch on the bench?
Well,
the elf on the shelf, the mensch on the bed. Good God,
right,
what's going
on?
But
we know the parents give it. That's all I'm saying.
What's that?
There's no mention of the bench of his gifts.
No, I get it. From the Jewish perspective, yes. Those come from the parents. Yeah, I get it. Santa's different, of course, for, you know, those young kids who celebrate Christmas. I get that. But, that's it's my birthday. Hey, Dad, gotta get me that new Soto jersey. Or say Sproat's an absolute beast when he comes up. And the Mets are, I need that Sproat jersey. I need it. But if the Mets are languishing, and they're a 77-win team, and it's the Wilpons, and there's indifference, and instead of maybe breaking the Citi Field attendance record, and we talked about this yesterday on the show, gave you all the numbers, whatever, which they might, they'd have to average 38 or 39,000 over the final 28 home games to do that, which was established in 09, the year that Citi Field opened. The energy's changed, and the dynamics change, and the fan base, the DNA of the fan base could conceivably change. I'm well aware of that. Yeah. I think I'm probably one of the most comfortable Yankee fans that there are. I don't know if that's the perfect word. But again, I don't get wrapped up in the Big Brother stuff. It's fun. I think it's, for me, it's just nothing I want. Don't care. You know, I've never, even though, of course, with the Lindor stuff, some people say that I did, but it was, I never took great pleasure in just getting on the air and denigrating the Mets. Like, that's, I never did that intentionally. Like, let me jab you. You guys are down. Yeah, yeah. No. I love the Yankees. I watch the Yankees. I watch the Mets every night as well. Try to give you an objective sense of what I see. And I think that most of the time that comes out. But the other stuff is nonsense. You know? And if there comes a point where the Mets truly overtake the city, not just perceptually, because, by the way, as the Mets are cranking out these attendance figures, I got news for you. Yankees do this in their sleep every year. So let's not get it twisted. You know? Yanks were the World Series last year. Mets weren't. Almost. But they weren't. Yanks haven't been to the World Series without Soto. You know, so, you know, maybe that flips this year. We'll see. But I don't know, and if there was like one question, like to keep it, you know, not life-changing, life-altering from a health or medicinal perspective, if there was one, because you always guess at this, if there was one question that I would love to have answered, it's like the literal, not like 60-40, 65-35, 55, what was that, 55-45, 50-50, which it's not 50-50, but I would love to know what the actual true literal breakdown is Yankee fans versus Met fans in the tri-state area. I would just love for somebody to present me. You can't. It's impossible. But I would love to have that. I would find that very interesting. Let me get Flavio in Hawthorne, New York. What's up, Flav?
Hey, BT. Listen, I got to tell you, this has been a great week. You do, considering it's 20 hours of sports talk all by yourself, you did a great job this week.
Thanks, man. It's, I appreciate
really
that.
It's really been fun. A pleasure listening to you.
Thanks, man.
I have a question. Well, so I heard you the other day, and I tried calling in when you interviewed Susan Wallman, who I absolutely adore.
Yeah, she's great.
And I really hope that you get another chance to do play-by-play, because I heard you when you did it last year.
Color. And not play-by-play. Not, dream job. Just color. Oh, thank you. Not play-by-play. I think Craig may have done play-by-play.
The color.
Yeah.
The color.
So, I love it.
You know, I was listening to you when, and you brought up the old timers there, which when they announced it, I was so excited. And Jeter's not going to be there, and she said, "Well, it's his daughter's birthday," and I had to ask you,
yeah,
you know, if they're gonna do an old timers day and they're gonna do it the 2000 series. Don't you think that they would call him first and say, "Hey, are you available on this day?"
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do. It's something else. Something else is going on, because I have to imagine that if they're going to schedule a 2000 Yankee Old Timers Day and reunion with everybody else, the core four and everybody else involved,
yep,
that they would ask Jeter first, "Hey, are you available on this day?"
I agree.
And I wanted to get your thoughts on this.
Well, here's my thoughts. You know, I just think that disappointed is, it's his daughter's birthday. Okay, I respect that. Family guy, father, daughter as well. We just had her birthday the other night. for some reason, I mean, it was amazing. I don't want to go on a side story here, but my wife, my daughter wanted this, so my wife did it, which was great. It was a slime party. She turned 9, so it was like Cloud 9 theme. And she's like, yeah, maybe we'll save a little money because like last year we rented a roller, an ice skating rink, and we've done all these elaborate, went to Disney one. And she's like, yeah, we'll save a little money. Meanwhile, every day, there's an Amazon box. We didn't save money. We lost money. Again, which is fine. But it was a slime party. Can you, like, if you set out to have the messiest birthday party imaginable with 16 or 17, 9-year-old, there was glue, it was just sparkle, it was insanity, and it would look beautiful, and she did do a great job, but I was pacing around, like, after a while, I get nervous when things get messy, that's just me, and I'm like, oh, what time, when is it over, and I'm not that, like, I'm not trying to be the grumpy dad. I don't think that I am. I think with my kids, I'm awesome. And I just couldn't wait for it to end, though. It was a lot of stuff going on. But I think that with Jeter, I think that it's okay to be a little disappointed that he's not there. And I think it's okay. I'm going to take it a step further, even though it's his daughter's. I don't think it's her birthday that weekend, as a matter of fact. I was told that it's a couple of weeks after it. I think it's August 17th, whatever it is. So to me, it's okay to be a little bothered by his indifference to a massive event. I don't get that. You know, and spare me the tweets and the calls. Who the hell are you to tell him what to do with his daughter? I'm not doing that. So don't waste your time. What I am saying is an old-timers day that celebrates a championship without the captain is not the same. Now, I think that Derek Jeter is very petty. Incredibly petty. Listen, I don't just bow down and kiss the altar of Derek Jeter. I think Derek Jeter's half a phony, and I've said that. I think he's a phony with his quotes in the newspaper. I thought he was a phony with who he selectively defended. Oh, he told you, the fans, he said, you know, now he didn't say it loudly because that was never his way, and you know, he was definitely a gentleman and definitely never got in trouble and a great player, so I'm not trying to go nuts here, but he told you, the consumer, how to treat Jason Giambi. Stop booing him. Give him a little space. I don't forget anything. Give him a little room. What did he tell you about A-Rod? Oh, because A-Rod, who, by the way, was right in the Esquire article, he nailed it, Derek's feelings were hurt. Oh, well, Derek couldn't handle the truth. So when you were getting on A-Rod, Derek kept his mouth shut. If you're the captain, you're not selectively the captain. You're the captain for the scrub who gets 2 at-bats a week and is back and forth on the minor league shuttle, or the 39-year-old veteran, whatever, who just doesn't play much, and the best player on the team, which, by the way, was never him. So there's a lot of things about Jeter that annoy me. And I think there's a lot of things about you. Like, I'm not fawning as a fanboy. Oh, God, Derek, in the name of Derek and in the name of Jeter and the name of the, you know, father. Stop. Derek gave you nothing in quotes. Now, he gave you his blood on the field, and that's why we revere him. He ain't showing up. Yeah, I'm going to let that bother me a little bit. And I don't care what you think about that, quite frankly. I just think too many people kiss his ass. And it's funny. It's like, oh, no personality is a Yankee. Now you put him on TV, he's yucking it up with Big Poppy. Oh, what a stunner. What a surprise. Derek does have a personality. Never showed it. Always hit it. Wasn't a consistent captain. Selectively defended people. You know. Didn't like when Cashman told him the truth. Hey, you know, go out there and see what's out there, buddy. There's a couple other shortstops that we might go out there and get who right now we think are better than you. And by the way, and you always hear me railing on Cashman, Cashman was right. So, I think that that's been building all week. Like, I've kind of hinted at it. I've talked about it. How the hell he's not there is beyond me. And, you know, and I'm also past the, I know we got a break. I'm also now past the point of, even though you probably should do it once, I would never do this again. Yo, you don't want to come? Don't come. Don't show up. He doesn't want to see people like run down the first. Mickey Mantle waddled down the first baseline. Who the hell do you think you are that you can't do it? You know? Yogi Berra waddled out there in his Yankee pinstripes looking like Yoda. We love you, Yogi. You can't do it? You still look like a stud. You're still in great shape. You still look, you're aging well. You're 51, you look like you're 40, and you got a beautiful wife and beautiful family. But the pettiness, I don't know, man. That just has rubbed me the wrong way. I had to get it off my chest. I feel better, though.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
We got Richard up in Connecticut, Stratford, Connecticut. BT and Sal, what up, Rich?
I don't care who they go out and get and rake their farm system. They're not a championship caliber team, okay? There's like 10 teams that are better than them right now. They're so inconsistent.
No, no,
they're not
10.
Fun to watch.
No, that's not good. Well, they're not fun to watch right now, but I don't think there's 10 teams better than me. Let's not be unfair, but I get your point.
Here's my point. I think the Yankees should be sellers this year.
I said that 2 weeks ago.
Okay. I just don't think what they have wrong can be fixed.
I do know.
I don't want them to trade Jones. I don't want them to trade
Lombard,
Hess, Schlittler, or anything else. Be sellers. Gut the team. I mean, you got a $300 million payroll, and you start the season with no third baseman, no leadoff hitter.
That's amazing.
You've gone through the no left-handed power.
Yeah.
I mean, give me a break.
You know, it's funny you say about the left-handed power, Rich, and thanks for the call. They're not going to gut the team. Like, there's a little nuance there. Like, selling and gutting the team are two different things. I said I would sell, and I told you I would sell Grisham tonight. I would trade him. Trade him, put Dominguez in center, put Jones in left, see what you got. All right, so that hasn't happened yet, but what has happened here, what had happened was, well, the Yankees finally got off their behinds and they said enough is enough of this atrocious defense. Yankees have made a trade. All right? The Mets get an arm earlier, Greg Soto. I like it. The Yankees with a bigger move and an absolute glaring deficiency. So they got a third baseman. They just struck the deal. No big names involved. We actually don't know the names yet. This is per Feinsam. Two prospects. Hoff's working on that. Ryan McMahon. And I love it. And when I say I love it, by the way, don't take that as, all right, the Yankees are going to win the World Series. What I love about it, now there's more to do. But the fact that the Yankees passed on Suarez's horrendous defense, I am so thankful for. And I have been imploring them the last couple of days to do that. Like, you listen to the show, you haven't heard me. Now, maybe 3 weeks ago, Suarez's name first came up. But yeah, of course, we talked about it. But the direction this week for me was, go, and not just McMahon, but more, and I mentioned McMahon, not Suarez. All right? McMahon's not perfect. He strikes out a lot. He does walk a lot. All right, let me geek you out just a little bit here. As per Baseball Savant, there's a lot of red. That's a good starting point. Dove, I'm going to need you or Hoff before I get out of here. I think there's 2 years to go. Tell me Ryan McMahon's contract status. Because I remember comparing that to Arenado at some point, and I believe he's got a million less or something like that. And you guys can tell me in a minute.
2027 is his last year, so he's a free agent 2028.
Okay, so and how much is he making?
Peanuts. It's a 6-year, $70 million contract he signed.
All right, so he's got a couple of years to go. I thought it was $20 million a year. Now, I'm looking at the Savant page. He is in the 91 percentile in terms of his range, outs above replacement. And he's a phenomenal defender. All right? So arm strength is average. His walk rate is 86%. He just strikes out too much, man. I mean, he's in like the 3rd percentile. He strikes out over 30% of the time. Unacceptable. But in terms of fielding run value, even base running value, both way, way above average. He's got pop. I won't bore you with the rest of the stuff. I'm not going to geek out that much here. But I like it. And because what the Yankees have not gotten at third base, somebody who could catch the ball or somebody who hits home runs, is exactly what he's bringing to the table. Now, like with Suarez, who's a home run hitter, more of a home run hitter, much more than McMahon, there's no guarantee that McMahon comes here and runs into a bunch of balls despite being a lefty, which I also like, with Suarez is not. Like, I like that as well. But I do know this. He's not going to look like Vivas at third base. And more importantly, he's not going to look like Suarez at third base, who is atrocious. Step one. Interesting. Mets, little bullpen arm. Yankees, third base. Here we go. All right. Yeah. Is he playing tonight? He'll play tomorrow. All right. 888-808-1019 is the number. Joe is in Colonia. Joe, BT and Sal. What up, Joe?
Hey, BT. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Joe.
I agree with you 100%. Not only is Jeter the biggest phony, Jorge Posada's right behind him. Back in the day,
Posada.
On Mike's show,
yeah.
When Nick Swisher came to the Yankees, they asked him to pitch. The Yankees were getting blown out. Came in, he pitched. He was laughing on the mound. Posada went up to him after the game and says, "We don't do that here. We don't laugh."
Okay. And you're mad at Posada for doing that? I want to give him build him a statue. I love that he did that. That's part of the problem. Judge doesn't. I mean, Judge is a good captain, but he's not that kind of in your face. I miss that. You have a problem with that?